This is tape recording number 5106C27B, VP number 2. A tape recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 27th of June, 1951. The title of this lecture is Validation Processing. It is 58 minutes and 21 seconds long. Copyright C, 1951-1974 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved. This recording has been re-recorded by the Flag Audio Unit of the Flagship Apollo of the Sea Organization. And now, here is L. Ron Hubbard.
Hey, let's go, let's go, let's go. There was some question. Now, I keep mentioning demonstrations. You want me to work. I'll tell you, frankly, if you were a theater audience, I'd be very happy to pick out a screamer out of the crowd and have him bouncing all over the couch for you. Everybody, you know, that's very interesting. I really ought to talk to professional auditors on the subject of just no more, no less than demonstration processing. It has no relationship beyond some of the patter with actual processing. What you're doing is trying to put on a show. You want a Roman circus. That's right. And you go up in front of a crowd of people who know nothing about Dianetics. And if you can feed somebody the lions for them, they say, boy, that Dianetics is really something. And you take the pre-clear out and shoot him. I'm not joking about that. A stage demonstration, if you want to put on a stage demonstration before a group, put on a show. If you want to put on a demonstration to give people the idea of how you process, that's something else. But I'm talking about a group that is new to Dianetics or very poorly indoctrinated. Get a screamer, get somebody that'll put on a heck of a ruckus. Something spectacular, a lot of noise, confusion, rolled up in a ball, blood spurting from both ears. Your crowd goes away perfectly satisfied. Give them an orderly, accurate, perfect demonstration, and they go away bored. They don't want it. That's something for you to remember. If you process for a group of people who are co-auditing, just to show them how, sure, show them how, honestly. But if you start processing in front of an auditorium or a bunch of psychiatrists or down at Sing Sing or someplace, you want these people to get the idea that they ought to study Dianetics or they ought to look into it, something like that. Boy, knock a couple of rafters apart. And then they say, that thing really got horsepower. For instance, in Oakland, there were four psychiatrists in a crowd where I worked on a young lady. She'd never seen Mom and Papa. She was potentially a screamer, ran her down the track. I picked up some incidents where she would be a little bit live, showed her Mom and Papa, brought her up into evidently Mama's death or something, the most horrible piece of garbage I ever ran into, and boy, it was a high C. You could see the plaster coming off the walls of that theater. That was very interesting. Three psychiatrists went away convinced there must be something in Dianetics because they had had this girl as a patient and they had never been able to achieve any release of affect. By that they mean tears or a release of emotion, sudden emotional upsurge. Never been able to accomplish it with her. She'd been under treatment for years. Three separate psychiatrists. They were sitting there in the audience. She screamed, she wept, she moaned, she groaned, she busted a couple of springs on the couch. They went away, they were happy. They were happy. And then we took the pre-clear off the stage. Somehow or other patched up the case a little bit. Glued a couple of arms back on. that's something you really ought to know about demonstrations. Showmanship commands utterly that you tie into the case and get a good, solid bang out of it. And your audience will alert and they'll be interested. But as far as routine processing, if I showed you some of this type of auditing, it'd be awfully tame. Somebody's liable to lose a chronic somatic or something. Routine. Now, I'm going on. You keep getting this idea that in Dianetics we want people to remove the aberration, not remove the person. I'm going to talk to you here about two things, self-auditing and chronic somatics. Self-auditing is a tremendously dangerous, highly aberrative, depressing practice which many pre-clears fall into, and out of which they do not easily walk. A man can go around auditing himself on phrases, his sense of reality gets lower and lower, his sonic will turn off sometimes, his visio will shut down, and he has a track which is nothing but N theta from one end of it to the other. I wouldn't really do that to anybody, make them start self-auditing. The funny part of it is that the fellow is built out of solid granite. After he's been at it for about a year and a half, there's some slight possibility that he may have gotten enough Anitin and enough phrases off of his case to have knocked out some of his chronic somatics, but he will have put himself lower on the tone scale. I know of a case which self-audited for 1 year. At the end of that time, was able to force himself to repeat the phrase as many times as necessary in order to reduce it. Was worse off mentally and physically than at the beginning of that year. That's a long time for anybody to self-audit. Whole year. In a month of self-auditing, your pre-clear can so thoroughly louse himself up that you as an auditor may take 2 months to straighten him out. It's very serious. And you don't stop people from self-auditing simply by saying to them educationally, it's very bad, you mustn't do it. It won't stop them. They've triggered into some kind of a phrase that tells them they got to do it themselves and so on, and there are all kinds of phrases can cause self-auditing. These phrases have been triggered, and the next thing you know, the stuff starts piling up, they're up and down the time track, and then one day they strike a grouper, something like that, the track collapses, and then they audit phrases at random, the phrases are always available in present time. Go on. Now, when the people start this, there's only one reason for it. I'm talking now about the mechanical aspects of it when I say there's only one reason for it. Here we had the reactive and the analytical. Here we're going to give you a little graph here. Here's the interior world, the world of the time track, the world of memory, the world of perceptics. Here's the exterior world, the world of the environment and the present time. Which way is the person going to go? The analyzer is mainly dedicated to resolving problems in present time as out of data collected to solve the future or present environment. Now, that's what the analyzer does. The reactive mind is solely concerned with, when we put language into it, the prevention of pain, bluntly. And past pain is supposed to keep an individual away from certain present time environmental things. Left in balance, to some degree, a person can pack around a lot of engrams and still be successful. The second we begin to really re-stimulate this interior world, though, something happens. Here we have a matter of where the attention is focused. Here are attention units. Are these attention units devoted to the exterior world, or are they devoted to the interior world? In order to be devoted to the exterior world, they have to be in present time. In order to be devoted to the interior world, they have to be back on the track. Obviously, a person is back on the track in the environments of yesterday when he is interiorizing or introverting. He's back on the track. He can latch up more and more and more attention units back up on the track. He can really fix himself up, or an auditor can fix him up. Run him halfway through this engram and halfway through that engram. You know? Get him re-stimulated so that you can find an engram to run. That corny one. And what'll happen? The guy will be back there looking at an interior world. So he'll, attention units are back on the track, so they will be devoted to yesterday. They're not remembering into yesterday, they start running into yesterday. And the exterior world becomes neglected. The analyzer is then not up high, but is operating very, very suboptimum. You want your pre-clears extroverted. Don't get them worrying about what happened to them, just so you can do a job of processing on them. You get the idea. I mean, you don't stir them up and introvert them just so you can find more engrams. If you could pull a trick of keeping your pre-clear extroverted continually, you would have well pre-clears. A somatic turns on when attention units are fixed upon an injury caused by that somatic, and they're fixed upon the time that injury took place. Here we are right there in fundamentals, basic fundamentals. The attention unit is back at the time he was 2 years old getting his leg broken, and so he has a pain in his leg. Also, the aberrative content, the phrases, the perceptics, and so forth, are also being viewed by the very attention units, evidently, which are viewing the pain in the leg. Now, so happens there's two sides to this. There's another pair here. There's the pair which looks at aberrative content as far as thought is concerned, and aberrative content as far as MEST is concerned. The two sides of the organism, theta and MEST. The theta can be aberrated, or the MEST can be aberrated. When the MEST is aberrated, you have physiological upsets. You have physiological somatics. When the theta is working, or being looked at, viewed interiorly, of course you have mental aberration, which is taking place. The two sides of the organism, theta and MEST. Now here's your theta. It gets interpolated, and it drives against the computational devices of the mind that such and such has got to take place. You know the anatomy of an enneagram, all right? It can't do that anymore. If it can't drive out, then theoretically the somatic is there to force it. If the N theta side of an engram cannot be expressed on the thought level, then the N-mess side of the engram tries to force it to be. See how this would be. So you've got a proposition here of, here's a little bit interiorized. A little bit interiorized means that the N-theta side of the engram is operative. But supposing the environment drives harder, forms up a lot more locks, and so forth, about the interior environment. In other words, refuses to let this person dramatize the engram, refuses to let that N-theta thought pattern take place. The environment says no. The engram says you can't eat. And obviously, in the environment, he's got to eat. And so he keeps on eating, and the engram, the N-theta side of the engram keeps getting kicked back. It gets kicked back thoroughly enough, and it comes right on over into the N-mest area, and on turns the somatic. Now, that's basic theory on it. You appreciate this. In other words, in order to get this chronic somatic off, you have to get the attention units first off of the N-mest side of the N-gram, and then off of the N-theta side of the N-gram, and into present time. Now, there'd be more ways of doing this, more ways of skinning an engram than one. Now, that's N theta. That's merely interpolated theta that's over on that side. The guy comes down the tone scale to a point where he's resonating at its level. So he starts thinking in its level, and then the environment won't let him think that way, and the N mess turns on. In other words, the somatic turns on. There he is. He's got a chronic somatic. Bad auditing will do the same as the environment will. He's trying to express the thought. He can't express the thought. It gets all snarled up computationally. The somatic gets turned on. The auditor's sitting there, and the next thing you know, you've got a chronic somatic turned on by auditing. You can do this. Or you get one that isn't ready to reduce. It's too overcharged, and nothing can be done about it. So the auditor goes away and leaves it. If this happens to the pre-clear too often, you'll get a whole series of somatics. What we want, then, is, you might say, then, that this situation could be graft a little bit differently. In other words, this could be your interior. Get the idea? So it's actually not a cup of that character, but here's the time track, and here are your introverted spots looking at engrams or locks or secondaries. And there'd be an attention unit which has dropped out of present time and is looking back down into this incident. You could postulate that that is about what takes place. Certainly, if we use this postulate, we start to get results. What you want to validate on this case is present time in the analyzer. Reality, affinity, communication. These things not only pick the person up the tone scale, but extrovert them. An extroversion of the pre-clear is tremendously desirable. Introversion of the pre-clear occurs at those times when the interior world has so much threat and turbulence and menace in it, when the attention units go back to take a look what happens, and then they don't leave. This is a self-auditing case, but a self-auditing case has introverted to an exaggerated degree, even more exaggerated than your usual introvert. Tremendous exaggeration of introversion. How do you cure this guy of self-auditing? And cure him quick. Validation processing will do it. All you do is start picking up analytical moments on the chains presented by the file clerk, or analytical moments on the chains of his chronic somatics, and keep running those analytical moments and keeping him from going into the N theta and the somatics which turn up. In other words, don't start re-auditing him on an N theta, N mess basis. Keep auditing him on a theta mess, right there. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, boom, he will extrovert. It's something that happens almost suddenly. He'll extrovert. He'll stop this self-auditing. You just get the chains and scan or straight wire those chains, theta moments. You want the analytical moments on those chains. And as an auditor, you're going to have a hard time with this guy right at first. A little tiny erg full of theta, and it's going to go right into that end mess. Whoop! And you're going to have to pull up another one, and another one, and another one. All of a sudden, you'll start to get this chain in some kind of shape. The chain itself turns inside out. Rather, it has been turned inside out by breaking of dramatizations of engrams. You turn it backside too, again. That's what you're doing. You're turning on the analytical side of the chain, and you're turning off the reactive side of the chain. When the reactive side of the chain is on, the person will introvert. When the analytical side of the chain is on, he's extroverted. Yes?
What about self-validation?
Self-validation? Yeah. No. Because think of, if this fellow has just been all the theta he's got is being attracted into his end mess continually, think how much less chance he has of keeping that theta out of the end mess if he hasn't got an auditor and the group theta body present between the two. If he hasn't got that, why, then every tiny little bit of stuff that he gets up just goes back, whoom. This is why your fellow can't remember happy moments. Actually, he can remember happy moments. But maybe he remembers them only for a millisecond. Not long enough to record the fact that he remembered them. Sure, he can remember a happy moment and then it's gone. The more minute the quantity of theta is, and the more massive the quantity of N theta, the quicker that theta will dive into the N theta or vice versa. The more massive the body of theta, the more minute the body of N theta, the quicker that N theta will try to dive into the theta. Of course, that's a fatal dive. This other is also a fatal dive. There is your modus operandi. I want you to fix that well in your minds, because there are too many preclears walking around who are self-auditing. And I imagine there are even some auditors who do self-auditing. I would say this was the case. Now, the case of the chronic somatic is really no different. The chronic somatic means that some chain of aberration on the case has been turned inside out or introverted. A single chain has been introverted so thoroughly that not only is the N theta flattened down, but the somatic itself is on. Now, this means that it must be a pretty thoroughly turned on chain. It's up to you as the auditor to find out on what chain lies the chronic somatic. You may find that the chronic somatic has 4, 5, 10 chains, each one furnishing a portion of it. You see the somatic itself having re-stimulated some other chain. So what you do as an auditor is take these chains one by one, and by straight wire or lark scanning, run them one by one on theta analytical moments until you get each piece of them turned extroverted. Each chain has two sides. Every chain has two sides. It's an unlucky chain indeed, which has minimal analytical and maximal N theta, maximal reactive. That would be a rough deal. And that is a rough deal to turn inside out. But then what you do is you work other things on the case and other related material until you finally do get up enough theta to knock the whole chain out of restimulation. Knocking things out of restimulation is a very, very important step. Here, at last, we may have, and I hope it will hold consistently, and I certainly want your data on this from the field so that we have a greater volume of data than we have now, because the data is, as I said, not as great as it should be, only about 15 cases. It's keeping up with that kind of consistency, though, that you just can extrapolate on that. It's going to stay, evidently, but I want to hear about it. Make sure. I know it turns off self-auditing, and I know additionally that it'll sure pick up tone, and I know you can pick up tone high enough with it so the whole case will collapse. that's really a beautiful sight. You watch a guy go clear on up the tone scale, and boy, is he really up the tone scale up there, and then all of a sudden, boom. Yes. It's a rejection chain?
Supposing it is, would you run the times the person was accepted?
No, you'd run the times the person was accepted.
Yes.
Simple? You're doing black and white Aristotelian logic here.
Accentuate the positive.
Great. It's all right. All right. Now, your chronic somatic, as I say, lies on a chain. What you do is just pattern block scanning. That's all. That's what you do. Except you take the reverse analytical side of the chain. This guy has a chronic somatic. You want to know, let's say the chronic somatic is his left foot. Now you want to know where this left foot is. You find out maybe it's on the birth chain. Might be. Maybe it's on a chain of the broken glass chain. Well, where'd the broken glass lie? It lay in roads and it green grass. Yeah, there's where the broken glass lay, green grass. Well, then we'll have to pick up and keep consistently to that level of analytical level when green grass was around and was very agreeable. Pick up all the times when green grass was pleasant.
That's the opposite.
No, but I say there's your foot chain. I shifted my topic. For the good reason I didn't want to re-stimulate everybody. Well, all right, take a birth chain. A birth chain it's a composite chain. It has to do with sex, it has to do with doctors, it has to do with nurses, it has to do with water. It has to do with a lot of factors, and you can take any one of these chains, or maybe take every one of them that you can possibly think of that were contained in birth and turn each part of that wrong side out. All the times the doctor was a good guy, and all the times the nurses in this fellow's life were nice. And all the times of when water felt good, and so on. All the analytical side of it. Not pleasure. You're not interested in pleasure. You can badger the devil out of a pre-clear, asking him to get pleasure, and there he is at 1.1, and he finally confesses to you, well, he had a little puppy dog one time, and it got run over, and he was still alive, and he was able to pick its eyes out. Now, that isn't going to do it. Pardon? Where's their grief on it? I'm not too clear on this, but I can tell you if that is the type of case that you're running, you just simply have to keep jockeying that case on. Miscarriage, all right. There's obviously pleasure moments during pregnancy. There's obviously pleasure moments around and about sex and so on. And this will be all in the same chain. And if you can just start picking up all the analytical side of the chain and keep her on it, she'll probably still try to dive in. And she'll probably try to cry. And if this case isn't too low on the tone scale, you may find yourself suddenly saddled with a secondary that you didn't know existed. And of course, at that moment, you'd run the secondary if the case was able to run a secondary. Now, let me give you that caution again. When a case is at a level on the tone scale, chronically, by behavior and so forth, which makes it impossible for them to run an engram or a secondary, don't, when you're doing validation processing, suddenly essay to run engrams and secondaries. See, it holds, and keep it that way. Keep your tone scale where it belongs, just because you're using validation processing. Now, validation processing can be used on any case. If you can attract that case's attention, get him a little bit in present time, something like this, or even if the case is clear up, way up the line, way up, you can do validation processing. Where it is most efficacious, evidently, and most effective is up to about 1.5, because here's an area where you can't run much. You can't produce spectacular results. This whole subject rather lays to view an enormous experimental potential. I mean, there's a tremendous amount here which can be discovered. Now, we know in validation processing that used as I have outlined it, we produce certain results. We know we can extrovert people. We certainly can knock out of prominence chronic somatics, so they'll just dive out of sight. We can do these various things. I have a hunch that it leads a lot further. I think that as we go on and investigate it, more and more we'll find more and more angles. There'll be more and more procedures. There'll be certain ways of handling certain chains that will turn up. And there, you might smoke out a way of turning on grief, just so-and-so, and or turning on the somatics you want to run them. There are various things that you could do with this chain business. And we're looking at a pretty wide scope when we look at this. It's principally the reason I'm talking to you about it is it's got potentialities. Standard procedure turned up last July. ThetaMass turned up about October, and validation processing turned up about 2 months ago. Those are three major advances along the line. There was one more when Street and Bile turned up chain scanning of engrams. That was a definite advance. And the fact that people could be boiled and boiled and boiled and boiled and boiled turned up out of nailers being of some use. Evidently, you can keep a pre-clear boiling, but after you keep that pre-clear boiling for a short space of time, you can maybe boil him for about 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. Let me caution you gentlemen from San Francisco area. He'll boil himself down to the bottom of the scale unless you turn him inside out. Boil off is beautiful stuff. You're going to get all kinds of boil off. You can get more boil off, actually, as you advance on a case with this than I've seen with anything else. Boy, you can really put them on the back of the stove and let them stew. Here's an example. A two-hour session. The pre-clear was twice started at the beginning of the chain. The first time got two incidents. Two happy moments on this particular chain. Two happy moments. And went out. And when it came to, was given the same chain to scan again and found three happy moments and went out. Just conked out cold and ice. And that was the end of 2 hours. There was that much boil off sitting around on this case. You want to turn on boil off, boy, there's the spigot. Now, you're going to get some cases that you're going to start this type of scanning. You're going to start this type, and you're going to start straight wire on this, and you're going to be able to go along for quite a while before you suddenly start to get N theta manifestation or aniten. Evidently, what you're doing is you're not tackling the right chain, but there's nothing wrong with this. You can take some cases and scan pleasure and scan pleasure and scan pleasure. I don't know what the case is doing, but you're certainly not on the aberrative line. If you were on the aberrative line, it wouldn't work that way. So you shift the line that you're scanning. Now, if you really want this pre-clear up the tone scale, however, you just assume that this ARC is there and then operate as though it isn't. Which is to say, you want levels of reality, levels of affinity, and levels of communication which he knows were affinity, which he knows were real, and which he knows were communication. You understand that seeing a light switch is a communication. If he's really seeing this light switch, it seems real to him. There is something between him and this light switch. It's probably representative of some pleasant environment in his past. Therefore, it's duplicating itself to him. So you've picked up just that much of some former theta incident in the present time environment. And you start building up a potential. One of the interesting things about this is you start this, and the next thing you know, your pre-clear is liable to be breaking out in tears or something. You gave him just a little tiny bit of N theta, and then with great ambition, it goes boom, right into the... You gave him this little bit of theta, and it goes right into the N theta. Boom. He says, starts to cry. Now, you've seen this happen. You've seen a fellow, you couldn't get the secondary off this fellow, and you've seen him sit there and so on, until you took him back to the time when he was really happy with Papa as a little boy. And here's Papa's death sitting there on the track, and you haven't been able to approach it, but we start running theta moments about Papa. And we run more and more pleasant incidents about Papa, and more about Papa, and all of a sudden, boom, we're right straight into, without any command or anything else, we're right straight into the M Theta Papa's death. Have you had that happen? It's almost a lead pipe cinch. It's going to happen. All right, there's an example which you've seen of this. But believe me, that's a very limited scope compared to what this will do. You start fighting with a case, you actually will have the feeling after a while, after you process somebody for a little while, that you really are fighting with the case a little bit. Because this guy starts wandering all over Robin Hood's barn. He starts getting into N Theta. You keep trying to pull him out of it. Now, actually, the final definition of processing is that you're trying to get all these attention units up to present time, aren't you? You're trying to get everything up to present time. That is in the way of good, clean attention units. You don't want any N Theta out of the bank up in present time. You want all this theta up in present time. How are you going to get it there? You have to pull it up scrap by scrap, erg by erg. You'll finally achieve it. That's really processing. You can redefine processing with that definition. Trying to get all of the theta attention units in present time. If you're able to do that, by the way, you'll notice some remarkable manifestations. Have any of you ever come into present time after blowing up a large amount of N theta and suddenly taken a look and everything was seemed very bright to you? Yeah. Well, that's ARC up. See, that's up tone scale stuff. You see, your ARC is on it much heavier, so your communication with the environment tunes way up. Gets light, very bright. That's the way the world looks to a little kid. Well, that is just simply the matter of having enough free theta in present time in order to make the proper connections. That's all. It's that simple. All right, you tackle processing from this angle on low tone scale people, and you will find yourself collecting some dividends. How far this will go, I don't know. I can't tell you that. I only know that it produces results. How many ways this principle can be used, I don't know. I haven't got large numbers of completed cases to show you on this, so I'm offering you this today. It's in advance of other methods, merely because it has proven very useful on low tone scale people. I'm not giving it to you as a technique which stands head and shoulders above this and that. Maybe our new line of technique development may go out along this theta M theta principle line. And it might not. But handling low scale people has been a terrific problem. You can evidently damp out engrams in restimulation with validation processing without ever looking at the engrams. That's a nice trick, isn't it? You evidently can do this. Oh, of course, it requires from you an enormous amount of restraint. You get the... You know, the guy says, oh, I got this terrible backache. And you say, well, now let's go back to the last time that you had a nice ride in the car. You've been running him on this car chain, and a nice ride and so on, you're enjoying the scenery. Yeah, I see one. And remember the time you kissed the girl in the car? Yeah. Yeah, gee, I was happy that day. Now, remember the time you got the new car? Phil says, yeah. Now, remember the time that you gave a car to somebody or gave them a ride? Oh, yeah, I remember that time. Where's your backache? Gee, I don't know. You don't either. But I'll tell you this, how you can really fix this backache up. You're running him on theta moments there, and all of a sudden he starts to get the backache, and you say, what's the phrase connected with this backache? So he says, I have to go back. Now, who's talking? Oh, I don't know. It's the phrase. Well, just go ahead and repeat it. Wonk, 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 wonk. Boil, 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 boil. End of session. Zero reality level. And he probably has the backache from here on out. But he might not have. It might go away. It might go away and merely leave a great big lock on the time track. Go check your cases sometimes and find out how many of these enforced boil-offs have left locks on the time track, which, when your pre-clear runs through them, will boil again. You may think you're producing a tremendous amount with a tremendous amount of boil-off, but you may just be littering up his track, too. And if this case is pretty N-theta, and you keep insisting on running N-theta, there's no theta present to knock that stuff off the track and disinturbulate it. So you can just deposit it in various points of the track. You just keep placing it here and there on the track and spread it around and get the backaches on and the headaches on and the chronic stomach somatics on and this and that. You can keep that up for a long time. Funny thing, two things could actually be happening on this validation processing. Maybe both of them happen, maybe only one. You're searching for a tone level which is above the tone level of the somatic, and you manage to finally, one way or the other, establish the tone level. That's one explanation. And of course, that tone level is above the sympathetic vibration level of the engram. You see how that could be? This engram could have a 1.1 tone, and as your pre-clear sitting along about in its sympathetic band of 1.1, and so boom, he gets the backache. Now, if you can somehow or other bump him up the tone scale by running theta moments, he would just climb out of the resonance area of that backache and it would stop. Or the theta is tackling the N theta and actually knocking it flat, actually kicking it off. One or the other's happening. One of these fine days, why, one of us, I'm sure, will be able to stand up and say with certainty which one. There's two perfectly good postulates and two perfectly good explanations for the same manifestation. It so happens, though, that the alertness level of the person comes up. But this could also be explained by the fact that you're turning on analyzer rather than turning on reactive mind. Now, what you're doing with validation processing is invalidating the reactive mind. So the guy's got phrases. So he's got engrams. So he's got secondary. So he's sad. So what? The hell with it. We want to know how well he can think. All we're interested in is his analyzer, his good health, his agility, his cheerfulness, his happiness, his effectiveness. And that's all we really keep asking for and talking to him about. And the only thing we'll buy off of him is these things. This guy just sort of, the analyzer waxes fat on this. Analytical power turns up, he climbs up the tone scale. Validation. Behind this is a very definite principle. That state of being comes into being, which is demanded or commanded to be by the auditor. The auditor can call into being any state of being he wishes in the pre-clear, in other words. That'd be another way of saying it, too generalized. He can't. He can't make him into an angel. But it's pretty much true. In interpersonal relationships, if you validate the orneriness, crabbiness, meanness, and ugliness of another person consistently and continually, he will be what he is validated to be. You know that by experience, I know. If you validate that he's happy, he's cheerful, he's sunny, he's wonderful, so on and so on and so on, pretty much so. Those portions of his being which are those things will begin to manifest themselves. It doesn't mean that you have knocked out necessarily the other portions, but you have called into being and made predominant those things. This could be explained simply and plainly on the postulate of resonance. You've just lifted him up the tone scale to a point where the lower tone scale manifestations simply don't resonate, that's all. The lower levels of the tone scale are very harsh and ugly and a lot of other things, and you don't pay any attention to that level. You just keep putting out a vibration level which is upper tone scale, asking for things which are upper tone scale, and the first thing you know, you've got upper tone scale in resonance, and the fellow's analyzer goes on and he thinks and he's effective and he's happy. There could be that as a full explanation for this, except for one thing. The auditor, in using validation processing, yeah, this little manifestation of the theta, which you try to keep a guy on pleasure moments, and you get just so many of them, and crunch. You start this validation processing, and you start getting up theta. And the fellow starts up the tone scale. Bing, 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 bing. You're working for two or three sessions. Oh, boy, he's coming up that tone scale. Bing, bing, bing. All of a sudden, you've got a guy that's 3-5. Boy, he's just doing fine. And next session, bong, 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 4-0 he is. And for a whole hour after the session, he's 4-0. For a whole hour. And all of a sudden, crush. And he goes down there to his normal 0-5. That's no exaggeration. You can watch this happening. This is fantastic. Boy, they sure dive. The fortunate part of it is that if he started out at 0-5 and got boosted by validation processing, session after session, clear up to 4-0, when he does his dive, he'll come back to about 0-6. And then you boost him all the way up to 4-0, and he spins again. 0-8. You finally get him up to a point where he'll be covertly hostile towards you. Now, one could postulate that what's happening here is a very simple thing. He's simply climbing up the tone scale, and he gets a big preponderance of free theta, and his present time environment is absorbing it. Oh, and boom, in goes a valence wall. Out goes a circuit. In other words, you get too much free theta on there, and the fellow goes around and he's feeling grand and everything, and it's gotten up to such a high volume, you've actually, by being very patient yourself, built up lightning in this guy's skull, and all of a sudden it goes crash. And what happens is a whole circuit will collapse, a whole series of circuits, and he'll just go down because he's suddenly flooded with N theta. All of his thought processes go unclear. His analyzer shuts down. The reactive goes way up. That's great stuff. With validation processing, you don't touch circuits. You don't touch valences. You don't ever tell him to get in valence. Because that would be to infer that he could get out of valence, you know? Preclear keeps saying to you, but I'm way out of valence. You say, well, that's fine. Let's go to the time you had an all-day sucker. Well, I can't even taste the thing. Well, all right. Let's go to a time when you could. Now there's the sequence of events. You can see this sort of thing happening. You can watch this sort of thing happening. And believe me, you really get a preclear going over the roller coasters. You see more action. Actually, with validation processing, you'll see more changes in a preclear than you see in standard processing. And yet, you apparently aren't hitting any N theta. You're trying to keep away from that.
Ron, do you mean by the overloading of theta that the preclear himself will set up a valence wall?
No. You get too much theta up there, and the already existing valence wall, which has been a lot of trouble to the auditor. Because this girl, every time he sent her back down the track, started to bark like a dog. The dog's valence wall, maybe that valence wall, he doesn't even select which one it is. He gets this tremendous amount of free theta up there, and all of a sudden, crush, in goes the dog's valence wall. But all it is now is N theta. It isn't the valence anymore. All it is the N theta and everything connected with it. And it's just floods. He gets terrifically depressed. A lot of this theta suddenly interpolates. But in doing so, there was enough potential so it did knock apart the valence. So that what you've got now is a person who is just kind of occluded instead of super valenced. Now you start back up the time, back up the tone scale until you get him up to somewhere around 3-0. You can't tell when one of these things are going to explode either. They explode very remarkably. This requires even less authoritarian auditing than N-theta processing. This is processing theta. Seems to set up a sort of an automatic cycle. I would like very much to have worked many more cases than I worked on validation processing before I gave it to you. I'm giving it to you here because it's valuable, not because it has been smoked out the degree it has. As a matter of fact, it has not been tested now on more than about 15 cases that I know of. It's about 15. Which is an awful damn small series. And particularly since those cases were not carried out a large number of hours. But we know what it does to some degree, and we also know that, boy, can you improve a case. Here's a pre-clear who is in terrible shape at 10 o'clock, and he gets validation processing for an hour, and at 11 o'clock, why, he's sitting up and taking nourishment and ready to go. Well, that's a heck of a thing to be able to do to a human being. Bing. No, you know. No, you got the wrong idea. See, there's an auditor still attacking the other thing. You don't have to know anything to do this. Actually, that's just a gag. A person to do good validation processing has got to know and keep in mind more about structure, Dianetic structure, than otherwise. A guy could do it blind. He could actually fumble through somehow and do it blind. But unless he knew thoroughly the behavior of locks, secondaries, and engrams, unless he could be prepared at any moment to pick one of these things up, discharge it in some fashion, unless he can do something for this case, he really better not play around too much with validation processing, because it's chain lightning. It is not a process that you would turn over to a book auditor, for the simple reason that it perplexed him so. He wouldn't know what he was fooling with. Why, here's all of a sudden he runs this and he runs that and he runs something or other. And gosh, Mama is so happy now after I've done all this. And isn't this fine? And look how happy Mama is. And he goes out to the other room and says, "Hey, George, come in here and see how happy I've made Mama." And she's sitting there, tears. You wouldn't be able to put it across to somebody who didn't know his. It's very important to know. Now, the way you find this and do these things. Believe me, if I ever find a pre-clear of mine who has suddenly dived into a secondary automatically and is busy running the thing, I'm afraid I'm too much of the N-theta kid myself. I'd dive. Because if I could get that much tears off the case, if I could get tears off the case, real specific tears off the incident, the guy went into it automatically. I'm talking now just about tears and terror and apathy as three types of secondaries that I'd really die for. If a guy walked into those things automatically, if he was there in the incident, believe me, I'd run it, because there's where you're going to get a lot of relief on the case, quick. There's really why you're fishing with validation processing. But just because a guy goes into some yawns, just because he goes into boil-off, just because he goes into some other manifestation, or because he is merely angry, oh, he sore as the devil, and the more of these darn theta moments you run, the madder he gets. And he can't tell you what he's mad about. You're not even asking him what he's mad about. And he's obviously not sitting in a specific incident, because he's not talking about a specific incident or specific thing. You might get him then, as you build up more and more, all of a sudden, to say, "Well, Uncle Bill was a dog, that's all there is to it, when he beat me with that club and so forth, and where did he hit you?" Boom. Yow, 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 see, and we run off this anger secondary. Sure, but the thing is there and obviously ready to be run. We haven't even asked him to go to the incident. If he'll go to the incident automatically, if he is there, if he'll run it automatically, gorgeous. You sit there then as a good auditor and audit the hell out of it. Yes, very definitely. Don't just let it sit. But you'll get line tears. Don't mistake line tears for incident tears. You'll get somebody who will... You just keep running pleasure moments, and they can't tell you what they're crying about or anything, and yet they're just crying. You're getting a grief line charge, and it'll just come off as a line charge. It'll just come off as tears.
They run out of prenatal, it comes up with somatic and so on while you're running pleasure.
Yes, if he curls up in a ball and has 26 perceptics.
What are the 26,
An honest 26. No, you see, it's even hard to talk to you about this. You see, you want to get the hint there. That's the stuff. All right, now, let me... I tried to explain this several times, and I've watched an auditor work after it's been explained to him. And they run pleasure moments, pleasure moments, pleasure moments, pleasure moments. All of a sudden, Free Clear gets an earache. Where does it come from? How old are you? There's a phrase that goes with this. What's wrong? What you do, you don't even run pleasure moments, pleasure moments, pleasure moments, pleasure moments. You see, you're used to running pleasure moments. Now, change your mind about that. You're running analytical moments. This gives you a tremendous scope of incident. You're running analytical moments. They're run by straight wire, as single incidents, and as chains of locks. The three. You'll find after your pre-clear gets up to the point where he can lock scan that you get the most free theta up the quickest with lock scanning, but you get a lot of them down there at the bottom of the line. They start up that old chain and crunch. It's very interesting how fast they'll stop on that. You take somebody, here's an example. You take somebody who is ordinarily and daily beaten unconscious by Papa and just start scanning Papa. Now, we'll not scan Papa doing something to him because he's not sure that Papa ever did. But let's just scan the times when he knows Papa was there or he's got some sort of an idea it was Papa. Anything analytical about Papa. Anytime he was thinking about Papa, anytime he saw Papa, he went on a trip with Papa and talked. Boom! What you do is just take the theta that was Papa and put it back into this doggone incident and it'll try to run itself. Now, how do you get him out of that? If he's too low on the tone scale, he will latch up right there with Papa beating the devil out of him, unless you can find some more Papa. Now, if you go on and find some more analytical moments about Papa, this may then merely dissipate as an incident and seem to just blow of its own accord, only you've never gotten him spanked. This depends on your finding some more about Papa. Once you get this fellow too low on the tone scale, his free theta n theta ratio such that he will actually hang up in the incident, then you have to go looking for somebody that looked like Papa. Or you have to go get something that is vaguely associated with anything. You get some sort of an idea. Let's take a look at your house when you were a boy. Well, I never can see the inside of this place. Well, I'm not asking you to see the inside. Let's just take a look at the shrubbery. Well, all right. Sure, I see some of the shrub. There's a tree. Yeah, old tree over there I used to crawl up in. What'd the front door look like? Oh, so and so and so and so. And where were the water taps located around it? Oh, such and such, so and so. How many chimneys did it have? Well, so on, you know. And first thing you know, and the fellow's saying, yeah, and there was oatmeal paper in the living room. And, yeah, and Papa used to sit. Hey, it's a funny thing. Grandma used to sit over in that rocker, too. Of course, there's just the empty rocker sitting there. You wouldn't put Grandma in it. Not now. And you say, well, you'd say, yeah, and here's all the times I had to haul wood for the... And here we go, see. And my father used to say to me, boy, he was mean to me. Gosh, he's... Now, who else used to sit in the rocking chair? Because there he's starting right in. You've just got up just that much theta. Now, of course, many times when he was cheerful and pleased and so forth, he looked at that house. And you get him to describe the confines. For instance, if you find that your pre-clear is unable to approach a telephone conversation, which told him some bad news or something of the sort, you discover this to be the case. Just start running telephones. Get him to spot where the phone was in every house or office he ever had. Nobody talking on it. That's too dangerous. Now, what you want is just all where all the phones are. Now, obviously, that's analytical moments. You don't consider these pleasure moments, you see. Analytical moments are where the phones were. We pick up these phones. We pick them up two or three times. Then all of a sudden, we try to pick up the phone bell. even if he hasn't any sonic, we pick up, well, a phone bell rang there, and there's one rang there, and oh, yes, and I had a funny phone bell over at such and such a place, and so on, and so on, and so on, and, well, do you remember a time when you were a little boy and talked on the phone? Yeah. Sneaking it in. Now, you remember two or three other phone conversations? Yeah, yeah, there was that one, and there was time out, Mamie told me to come out to the farm, and, gee, you know, my head feels awful bad, see? Well, you'd make a mistake there if you just started to grab for what you were after, because it's just come into view. The theta is too ambitious, and boy, you can make that as a rule. It's going to jump before it's ready to jump. So let's pick up some more phone bells, and let's pick up some more phone calls. If you do it well, the incident will disappear, and you'll never have any more truck with it. Well, if you really... Sure, that's right. That's correct. The avidity with which the theta, little tiny bit of theta, will spring is tremendous. And that's where you have to exercise your great willpower and caution about what you pick up. Because oddly enough, you work with the file clerk, and if in the absence of a file clerk, your own good sense on this. You don't start picking up stuff which is obviously on the aberrated line. Now, I'm coming to that in a minute. You can be very selective with validation processing. All right. There is a pattern which goes along with this. Very special. If you've got a file clerk that you can work with, what you want to know, is there a chain ready to be run? Yes. What is the name of this chain? Oh, the cat whisker chain or something of the sort. Just straight pattern. Now, ordinarily, you take off from there as lock scanning. You just simply take off from there, and you would start to run all the N theta on that chain. Well, not with validation processing. You run everything on that chain which is analytical, and which he knows has a good level of reality. And you just scan, in other words, the analytical side of that chain. Now, you could postulate that although this chain looks to you like this, a straight line of incidents, actually the chain probably is like this, where the left-hand one here, a broken line, would be reactive areas, and the right-hand one would be analytical areas. In other words, this chain breaks into two chains, two broken chains. Now, if you keep paying attention here to this reactive one, you're just going to bring him further and further into reactive mind reaction, that's all. He's going to get more and more reactive about this, unless he has enough theta available to run it, at which time he will run it right on out and desensitize it, and he'll feel much better for it. But that means he's got to have enough theta to do it. So, on a low-scale case, you start chewing away at this and plowing away at this reactive side of the chain, and you'll latch him up. Keep him over here on the analytical side of the chain, and you start turning his analyzer up further and further and further and further, and some of the incomprehensible problems on the chain that were incomprehensible before to a tuned-down analyzer will try to resolve themselves, and they'll try to pull over into this chain. Your stunt as an auditor is to keep him over on this chain and not let him go into this chain. Willy-nilly, sometimes he will boil off. Very often will boil off. You let him boil off. Very often he'll shed a couple of tears. He doesn't even tell you what the tears are all about, but he just sheds a couple of tears, or he gets a little scared as he's running the thing. It's just line charge is what you're getting. It's not from a specific incident. And you just start working with that, and he boils, and he does all sorts of standard manifestations, and he comes out of it. You don't put him into what he was boiling. You don't ask him, what are you boiling off about? Where is this incident from? None of this stuff. All you do is keep him over into analytical moments. Are there other analytical moments in this chain? Now, your reactive mind can get validated up to the point where the whole case starts to look interpolated. It does not start to rise up the tone scale. But actually, you can start working on the analytical side of the ledger, and the case will come up the tone scale. Day by day by day, you can watch the difference. But you're not doing the spectacular. You're only doing the important. Now, that's a nice differentiation. It is terrifically spectacular to get a screamer screaming, but it's not good processing.